This is Radio MD COVID-19 Daily, your source for COVID-19 news from the front lines of healthcare. I'm Caitlin White. It's Monday. Let's get to it. It's April 13th. After the news, we'll hear an interview with an ER doctor on typical and atypical symptoms of COVID-19. Dr. Anthony Fauci expressed some optimism yesterday, saying he could see parts of the country begin relaxing stay-at-home orders amid the coronavirus pandemic as early as next month. The doctor was on CNN's State of the Union Sunday, saying, quote, "We are hoping by the end of the month we can look around and say, okay, is there any element here that we can safely and cautiously start putting back on? If so, do it. If not, then just continue to hunker down." Fauci suggested a rolling reentry would be the best way to go, saying it is not going to be a light switch that we say, okay, it is now June, July, or whatever. Click, the light switch goes back on. Fauci has been the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases since 1984. Johnson & Johnson is warning of a temporary shortage of Tylenol, an over-the-counter medication that some are using to treat symptoms of COVID-19. Radio MD Scott Webb has this report.
Johnson & Johnson says that due to high demand from COVID-19, Tylenol is in short supply in some areas of the country. The drug manufacturer says that despite producing and shipping at a record pace, shortages are likely, and they are encouraging stores to limit the amount of the painkiller that each customer can buy. It is believed by many healthcare experts that Tylenol or acetaminophen is safer for patients suffering from fevers than ibuprofen, because ibuprofen can actually inhibit some of the cell function that can probably worsen outcomes in COVID-19. Reporting for Radio MD News, I'm Scott Webb.
With in-person shopping being discouraged, many people are turning to Amazon or Instacart to get home goods and food. But how safe are those deliveries? Radio MD's Bill Klaproth has more.
So how safe are those packages and those home grocery deliveries? In a story in WebMD, Dr. Joseph Vinetz, a professor of infectious diseases at Yale University, says, "Nobody's gotten this infection anywhere in the world from packages." He also says you can detect the virus on cardboard with a molecular test, but that doesn't mean it can infect you. And the CDC says you're also very unlikely to contract COVID-19 from surfaces. For Radio MD News, I'm Bill Klaproth.
Have you been shopping more online? Would you rather pick up your own groceries or pay someone to shop for you? We want to hear from you. Let us know in an email. We're at COVID19daily@radiomd.com. We all know most of the common symptoms of coronavirus, a fever, a dry cough, but what about the less common ones? Joining us once again is Dr. Lee Vanocur, board-certified emergency physician and spokesperson for the American College of Emergency Physicians, to tell us about some of those atypical symptoms.
We all know that there are classic symptoms that we've been seeing and hearing about in the news for COVID-19. So the CDC talks about fever and cough, which are really typical for any respiratory disease. And the World Health Organization has now amassed data for about 55,000 confirmed cases, a lot from China. And they said that 88% of the time they presented with fever, 68% of the time there was a dry cough, 38% of the time there was fatigue. They were producing sputum or phlegm 33% of the time. 19% of patients had shortness of the breath with about 14. But what's interesting is there was a recent study reported in the American Journal of Gastroenterology, and they were saying that diarrhea is actually an overlooked sign of the disease. And by missing something like this, we could be unwittingly spreading it. So China did a small study when they first started to compile cases of about a couple hundred patients. And they found that almost 50% of the time, patients had at least one digestive symptom or gastrointestinal symptom present as their main complaint. So that was diarrhea, nausea, or abdominal pain. And about 18 to 20% of these patients had all three of these symptoms. Now, these were focusing on their severely ill patients, but 23% of them were admitted with GI symptoms only, and 43% had respiratory symptoms, and about 33%, a third of their patients in the study, had both. So you know, these numbers are still more coming out. The WHO is amassing, you know, the World Health Organization is amassing this. They're saying at least 10% of patients are reporting new gastrointestinal symptoms. So it's important to consider new onset diarrhea as a possibility. And what's interesting too is that patients that presented with GI symptoms also had virus detectable in their stool. And I read an interesting article, some epidemiologists have been discussing testing of wastewater to kind of better handle and get a grip on infected communities.
Tell us about the loss of smell and loss of taste that's emerged recently as a more common symptom of the virus.
Yes, so loss of smell is anosmia, and loss of taste is agouzia. People are reporting it. There was in the UK, there was a symptom tracker. 500 people were starting to put in their information. They were starting to track fevers, but they also started tracking this. People were saying that were infected that they couldn't smell things. They weren't smelling flowers in their house or wildflowers outside, and they were drinking coffee and it was tasting like water. And preliminary studies in the UK found that in humans and mice, the virus does attack cells associated with smell in nasal passages. However, you know, we know from having general colds or allergies, people report during these times that they also kind of have loss of smell and taste. So a lot of other upper respiratory infections that may not be COVID-19 have this. But there's still, we need to do more studies and more symptom correlation with people that definitely have tested positive for COVID-19. Other symptoms that people are talking about is malaise and confusion. Also, any viral illness can cause chills and muscle aches, so that can be attributed to the fever with any kind of contagious or communicable disease that causes fever. Additionally, a lot of people are complaining of headache and dizziness. What's interesting is some studies haven't reported that not a lot of people had been sneezing. It had been a dry cough, not sneezing, or runny nose, and sometimes that, you know, runny nose, sneezing is more affiliated with just the common colds and allergies, and that can be one of the things to kind of help people differentiate. And of course, we know, you know, every year when flu season comes around and we're talking about how to tell if you have the flu or a cold, or how to tell as we get into the spring, colds or allergies, a lot of that is related to fever, you know, the common cold and rhinitis and a lot of other. While coronavirus can cause the common cold, there's like 900 common cold viruses, and rhinoviruses are one of those. And those are the ones that a lot of times don't have associated fever with them, and certainly allergies. When your eyes are itching and your nose is running, sometimes you may cough because you have nasal, post-nasal drip from some of these upper respiratory symptoms. It's not a deep, dry cough like with a lung condition, and certainly there's no fevers associated with allergy.
This has been Radio MD COVID-19 Daily. If you want to answer one of our surveys or have an idea for us, email us at COVID19daily@radiomd.com. That's COVID19daily@radiomd.com. We'll be back Tuesday broadcasting straight from our closets. I'm Caitlin White. Stay home and stay healthy.